For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with a weekly look at the world of Non-League Football. Three big games remain at the top of the Non-League season. The finals for the National League, the National League South, and the National League North playoffs, and they see who takes those remaining spots to climb further up the pyramid. We speak this week with one manager who, if he achieved promotion, sees it as his biggest achievement in a short, successful management career, but also his fairly illustrious playing career too. Russ Penn made over 280 appearances as a player in the Football League, and almost the same again as a non-league player, along with eight England C caps. And now has over 130 games as a gaffer under his belt too, so he's seen a fair bit of football in his time, but this weekend is a big one in the National North playoff final. A trip to Brackley and some 90 minutes plus add-ons and perhaps extra time and penalties stand between them and a place back in the top tier of non-league football. Rounding up the week's news this time around, it's John Couch from the Non-League Paper. Plenty on the National League players, how we got here, what lies ahead this weekend, plus a managerial merry-go-round that seems impossible to keep up with. There's also some club administration news, good and bad this week, and the big stories of this weekend's Non-League Paper. So plenty to come. Sit back, relax, and let's get matters underway. So the National League playoffs, of course, that extra dimension has meant the season just keeps giving and giving. But it does all come to an end this weekend. Just one win away from promotion for the six sides who make this weekend's three finals. Notts County against Chesterfield in the National. Oxford City against St Albans City in the National South. And in the National North, Brackley Town against Kidderminster Harriers. We've called it the hardest division in the pyramid throughout the season, the National North. So that's our destination. My next guest has seen his side get to this stage the hard way, ending the season as the in-form side, then securing playoffs on the final day, followed by two away wins to reach this final. Of course, it all comes down to two sides in one game. And I'm sure Russ Penn, manager at Kidderminster Harriers, agrees with that. Welcome to the Non-League Football Show, Russ.
Good evening. Thank you very much.
Let's go back a bit. Let's start with that eliminator match that you won just over a week ago. It's a tough place to go on a Tuesday evening, Alfreton, and you go 1-0 up, I think 35 seconds in from Amari Morgan-Smith's header. That must have seemed like the longest match ever for you.
Yeah, I was saying to the staff after, you know, you grow up loving the game and trying to play the right way, but to be honest, mate, I couldn't wait for the whistle to blow. And waiting 90 minutes for it was hard. It was a tough game, really physical. You know, I respect the way Billy Heath and Alfreton play, but it was a tough place to go on a Tuesday night. So delighted we got the result in the end.
And then they added 5 minutes of added on time as well. It seems to be the norm nowadays anyway. But what do you do in those 5 minutes? Do you pace the technical area? I mean, how many times do you look at your watch?
Yeah, I just constantly get on at the fourth and tell him to blow his whistle and get on to the ref. So just try and intimidate a few people. But no, it's... Listen, I'm always begging for more time when we're on the wrong side of it, and you're always asking for shorter time when you're not. So, you know, the referees and the officials have got a job to do. But yeah, it's hard. It's hard because you just want the game to end.
And it was one of those sort of... You're under a constant barrage as well, weren't you, from the Alfreton long throw. It must have been feeling like you were watching the tennis at Wimbledon with all those balls going in. So I'd imagine after... That's on a Tuesday night. And I imagine you're quite weary... But you have to get straight back on the horse, ready for Sunday's semi-final.
Yeah, so obviously we had 5 days break in between. We knew who we were going to play, obviously, before the game, because obviously you go into the eliminator with the team who finished second place. So the homework was already done prior. We weren't the favourites, we were the underdogs, so we went there with a little bit of pressure off us, knowing that if we could perform, we could win on the day. And that's certainly what we did.
Yeah, I mean, I think Kings Lynn finished 25 points above your final day sixth place finish. But actually going into that game, you were the two informed sides in the division.
Yeah, very true. You know, I think Kings Lynn have had a fantastic year. And to be fair, them and Fold have absolutely ran away with it this year. I do feel slightly sorry for them, because in any other league in the pyramid above, they're promoted. But when it comes to the last month and on the day results, we were right up there, and I don't think anyone wants to play us at the moment, which is great. And we certainly showed that last Sunday.
And to go there and win 4-1, I mean, your boys must be buzzing with confidence now.
I hope so. It's the biggest result of the season for us. Listen, we would have took 1-0 comfortably, you know what I mean? But just the way the game panned out, and obviously it opens up a bit more because they need to score. It's not like a league game when there's a bit more reserve in there. It's cup competition now. It's knockout. So I think, you know, you do see healthy scorelines in knockout competitions. But no, it's done us the world of good, and we're going to bounce into the final on Sunday. But, you know, listen, full respect to Bradley. I've played against them many times. This is the toughest game for us this season.
Yeah, and Bradley finished fourth, and actually, I think they weren't they level on points with you come the end of the season. So that sort of suggests it's going to be very tight. They've already had two very tight games as well. Have you had a chance to watch back what their performances were like in the playoffs?
I have, because obviously they've all been on different days. So I've watched them live. We watched them on the way back on Sunday. Listen, we've played them twice this year. I've played them a lot. I know the manager well, respect him as a player. He's injured, fortunately for us at the moment. But no, listen, they'll know what we're going to do and we'll know what they're going to do. You don't change your tactics overnight, and it's going to be a really good game, good atmosphere. You know, we're only an hour apart, so I just think it's the best two teams going into this game on form. And, you know, hopefully, you know, we can do our utmost to win the game.
Yeah, you say you don't want to change your tactics, but with such a tight gaming prospect, you still have to keep a couple of curveballs up your sleeve to maybe make a change that the opposition aren't going to see coming, be that from the start of the game or partway through?
Yeah, for sure. You've got to have your changes in mind. Listen, there's always in the back of your mind, you know, there's extra time and penalties, but it's a 90-minute game and it's in our hands, just like it is for Brackley. And, you know, I'm pretty sure I know what they're going to do Sunday. Like, they probably know what we're going to do, and we've just got to try and be better than them on the day. It's as simple as that. It's one 90 minutes that we've got to try and be better than the opposition at.
The extra time and penalties, though, are a real possibility as well. How do you build that and the pressure that comes with those in such a big game? How do you build that into your preparation for games like this with your players?
To be honest, I try not to, because I think you can overthink things. I think when you're in the moment in a final, I think adrenaline and emotion just takes over anyway. So I think we've just got to focus on the 90 minutes, try and get the job done in that. And what will be, will be. Listen, if the lads are going into extra time after a 54-game season, you know, you're running on adrenaline anyway. So I don't think it becomes tactical then.
And you've had a week between these games, then, between the semi-final and the final. And how have you dealt with that? Because you've had a long season, but you are in form. Have you had some practice matches? Has it just been trying to keep that flow going?
No, I bought a load of bubble wrap from Dunelm last week, and I've wrapped every player in it. And I've told them to pop back over on Saturday. I know you've just got to tick over now. I can't physically make the lads fitter. What you can do, you can injure them, you can overwork them, and emotionally overthink them as well. So they're in a great place at the moment. We've won 8 on the bounce. I think they're managing themselves very well. So. This is my first final as a manager, so, you know, someone needs to manage me as well, because it's all new to me.
I mean, you say it's your first final, but you've got enough games under your belt now as a manager for stats to make a difference. I think your win ratio is in excess of 46%, probably higher than that now, up there with some of the best. I guess you'd give all that up, though, for a win in this one on Saturday and promotion back to the top tier.
Oh, for sure. I said to some media today, it'd be my greatest achievement in football, and that was including playing. If we can win on Sunday, especially from where we were 8 weeks ago, 15th, for looking over our shoulder, to win 8 games on the bounce and 1 game away from promotion is quite surreal, to be honest. But we're not there yet, and we've got to do everything we can now to try and get over that line.
And what is that? Is that just the lads coming together? Because you mentioned knowing their manager, that they've got a new manager effectively in Charles Skipper, Gareth Dean taking over, stepping up, and which suggests that their dressing room's very tight together as well. Is that the important thing to get success in football nowadays?
I think so, yeah. I think you try and build a culture first and foremost, try and replicate what you are as a manager. Listen, we've had some unlucky situations this year with injuries and suspensions, and everyone seems to have got back fit and on form in the last 2-3 months. So, I'm grateful for that. And at the moment, we haven't picked a different side in the last 2 months, which is great continuity for us.
And you've overseen a real change in fortune since taking over the full role there in, what, February 2020, last season. You beat Reading, you're so close to dumping West Ham out of the FA Cup. This season, you're now within touching distance of the National League. Is the club ready to compete again with the best in non-league?
Oh, yeah, we always have been, really. We're going to keep trying. Whether it doesn't work or it does on Sunday, we're going to keep trying and plugging away. That's the situation. That's what I want to do as a manager here. We're in touching distance now, which is great. We were nearly there last year, but we lost in the semi-final. So, we've got closer this year, which is great. So we are improving, but not quite there. But yeah, I think you only need to come to the club to realise, we are able. But I think a lot of the clubs are at this level at the moment. Like you said before, National North is a tough, tough league. Relentless, ruthless, some really big clubs in there now. And, the quicker we're out of it, the better, to be honest, because it's so uncomfortable. It's one of them.
And you mentioned you think it'll be your finest achievement in football. But as a former kiddie player, indeed, I think you even had a brief spell, didn't you, in the youth setup as a player. Would promotion, might there be a tear in your eye?
Yeah, possibly. Who knows? I haven't done it yet, so ask me that question at 6 o'clock on Sunday. I hope so. It's been a draining year. It's been relentless. Gone through some ups and downs, but we're finishing the season exactly how I wanted to. We're going to hit the final like a steam train, I hope, because we're definitely going into it on that kind of form.
And I guess as a former Wrexham player too, I assume you've been looking on and following their success and celebrations. I don't suppose there's a Vegas trip in their offing for you guys. But do you take something from that success to sort of boost your own current dressing room?
I think so, yeah. I think every changing room's different. We had great success last year in a different way with a cup run. But there's not as much pressure on cup runs as there are in the league. So that was a different kind of prize, but I just think you are what you are. I'm not going to try and change a lot from what I've been doing this year and as my own tactical now. So I think each manager's to their own, really. And like I said, I haven't been in a final before as a manager, so it's new for me too.
Well, hopefully you'll enjoy it as an opportunity and also the result as well. It's always a pleasure to speak to you, Russ. Best of luck at the weekend, and hopefully we'll be speaking to you again very, very soon on the Non-League Football Show.
Thanks, Tim. Cheers, mate. Good to talk.
So time then to head on over to Non-League Paper Towels, and a welcome back to the Non-League Football Show. He's executive editor at the Non-League Paper, Mr. John Couch. Welcome back, John.
Thanks, Tim. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, and I'm sensing, that the end of the season is nigh. We've got the final weekend of league shake-ups, I guess. The National League playoffs again, they've been everything they promised to be, haven't they, across all three divisions. Last weekend, those semi-finals on Sunday had twists, turns, and plenty of entertainment.
Yeah, it's been great, isn't it? Everything we expected and more. I mean, you only have to look to last Sunday. I mean, what a day of entertainment that was for the neutral, especially those watching on BT Sport. The two National League semi-finals. The first one, absolutely incredible. Where Notts County looked dead and buried until a 96th minute of equaliser by Aidan Baldwin, scoring his first two goals for the club, just about managing to uh, and a period of extra time against Bournemouth. I guess the Bournemouth side probably thought they pulled off one of the biggest wins of their in their history, and then 120th minute, Tony Jones pops up and picks up what was a huge victory for Notts County, and then a couple of hours later, the same thing happened almost, didn't it, with Bromley leading at Chesterfield at half time. Chesterfield then sort of coming back into it, leading 2-1, thinking they'd got over the line, and then Michael Cheek pops up 99th minute equaliser again to set up extra time at 2-2, and then Chesterfield eventually getting over the line, courtesy of Liam Mandeville's goal. I mean, what a fantastic day of entertainment! You know, two ties. He went to went 120 minutes, last minute goals, plenty of drama, red cards, five goals in each game. It was just fantastic, and it's been the same in the north and the south as well. You know, we've plenty of shocks, and I mean, the north and south is. In both divisions, so by teams who haven't been second or third in their in their divisions, a couple of shock results. I was at Alfriston Town to take a look at their tie, their eliminator tie with Kidderminster going into the playoffs on the back of six straight wins, and now all of a sudden they're eight straight wins. They've pulled Alfreton and then Kings Lynn Town 4-1 away from home. That was an incredible result, and they find themselves in the final against Brackley Town, who beat Chester on the road as well. So that set up a mouth-watering tie really between two sides who will be very thankful for really probably haven't had. The best seasons. I think both of them will admit that. And then in the south as well, Dartford, who finished second, they slipped up to Auburn City, who, again, like Kidderminster, won back-to-back away games at Chelmsford. And then Dartford to get to the final, and they come up against Oxford City, who managed to see off Worthing. So all three divisions, fantastic semi-finals, and it sets itself up for another more mouth-watering week of action this weekend.
Yeah, as you say, the south, we've got third against sixth, and in the north we've got fourth against sixth. It just shows that the playoffs are all about the club with momentum, and as you mentioned there, clubs that were maybe thought they'd had a disappointing season, they've crept into the playoffs, and it could become the most momentous season in their history.
It's incredible. I mean, Kidderminster is a perfect example of that. I think it wasn't long ago, three or four weeks ago, that they were 13th in the table, and there was a bit of discontent among the supporters. The manager Russ Penn, bit of a legend out there, even he was under a little bit of pressure. It just wasn't going well for them. The injuries were mounting up, and everything that could go wrong was going wrong for them. And then all of a sudden, they got a few injuries back, managed to scrape a couple of wins, and they just powered on from there. And as I say, they've got into the playoffs on the back of six straight wins, and I think in those six wins, they only conceded one goal. And it just seemed to click for them at the right time, and that's what's got them to the final at the expense of a Kings Lynn side who've been up there all season. Mm. They've been top for most of it, and all of a sudden they get humbled 4-1 at home, and that just shows the power of having that momentum at this stage of the season, and they've really timed their run perfectly, Kidderminster, as have Brackley as well. In Brackley haven't had the best of campaigns, I think, probably by their own admissions. But they've had a bit of unrest with the managers, and all of a sudden Gaz Dean, the captain, has taken over the reins, and he's leading his side into a playoff final and possibly into the National League. I mean, it's actually incredible, really. You couldn't really write it. But as you say, the momentum side of it is so important at this stage.
And that's going to be the interesting thing, isn't it, in that National League final at Wembley on Saturday, second against third. Notts probably had the best of the season between them and Chesterfield over the season. But this is a single game after such a long season. It looks like they've got out of their system the fact that they finished second to Wrexham in the overall standings, but they've still got to get this one over the line to get promoted.
That's right. I think any fan who thought that the playoffs were going to be a walkover were certainly silenced at half time when Bourne Wood walked into a 2-0 lead. They had to dig deep, but in doing so, they showed a lot of spirit, great character. Yes, they left it very late, and with that, I think does come an element of luck, but they've earned that luck with the way they've been at it all season. 107 points and well over 100 goals. They deserve to be in League Two, let's face it, but in any other season they would be, but they have to do it by the playoffs. But at least they've managed to find a way through. They've managed to pick their chins off the floor, and I don't think they'll be taking Chesterfield lightly at all. The big local rivals. It's going to be a huge crowd down at Wembley. It's going to be a tremendous occasion. And Chesterfield will probably go there thinking they've got nothing to lose. They've been overawed a little bit by the form of Wrexham and Notts County. They've managed to cling in there to third and fourth place. They picked up some big results when they needed to, especially at one point when it looked like it was probably slipping away from them. But Paul Cook's side have managed to claw their way back, and a big win at Bromley again. That will have shaken them a little bit. They would have realised that you don't play the likes of Bromley and expect an easy game anymore. And as I say, they'll go to Wembley against Notts County, knowing exactly what they've got to do. And I think the pressure's off them. To be honest with you, I think they'll go there, and I think they'll enjoy the occasion and just. And if there's any Notts County nerves, then capitalise on it. I think it promises to be a great final.
It does. I mean, we're so excited about the semis that we enjoyed last week. I mean, the finals that we've got ahead of us this weekend are even more exciting, really. But I mean, if you're one of the members of that dressing room, the Boreham Wood dressing room, we spoke last week with Luke Garrard about Boreham Wood's resilience, especially once they're in the lead. But Notts never gave up in that game on Sunday, and Wood, they've got to feel, well, completely empty now. We're all knackered after a long season, but I mean the emotional and physical impact on losing a game in that way, being so close. I guess they won't have the energy to turn the TV on to watch these games this weekend.
No, probably not. You have to feel sorry for Luke Howard, don't you? I mean, his comments afterwards, he was speechless. He was speechless. He literally had nothing left. His team gave him absolutely everything. You could tell by his substitutions in the last quarter that he was happy to hold on to what he had, taking Tyrone Marsh off and bringing on Mark Ricketts, or sort of wily old campaigner in the middle of the park. That showed his intentions, and the injury time just kept going on and on, and every second felt like a minute for him. We've all been there. We've all had situations like that, but not all of us have had situations like that in a game such as big as that, and coming so close to what would have been the biggest shock in National League playoff history, probably. I don't know. Certainly up there. I mean, we all know what Bournemouth are like, and they're probably the biggest spoilers in that division. If you need to get a win on the final day of the season or whatever, then Bournemouth is not the team that you want to be playing. And there was just a way that they got some big name performers in there, and the way that Luke Garrard plays, they make it very, very difficult for you. And if you're not on your game, like Notts County were for at least half of that semi-final on Sunday, then they'll punish you, and that's what they did. Unfortunately, they just come, well, within seconds of pulling off what would have been a huge shock.
Yeah, I mean, who'd be a manager? Plenty of people would be, really. There's six that are, you know, still gunning for it this weekend, and the majority of the others have sort of maybe got their beach towels out, packing their suitcases, ready for a summer. But there's still many a change on the managerial merry-go-round. We didn't get to mention a few of them last week as well, but of note, what have we got? Kevin Watson, most notably of Herne Bay, he's taken on the role at Ashford United, recently held by Tommy Warrilow in the Isthmian South Division at Step 4. I think they finished ninth last year, Ashford, Kevin Watson, another big appointment. It'll be interesting to see whether he brings in a lot of new players, whether he tries to pull together some of those people they had at Herne Bay last season, and see where they go this.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, Kevin's someone who knows the level, and he knows a good player when he sees him. Kevin, he did extremely well with Herne Bay. Unfortunately, it was just a pulley a little bit. We have a step too far for them. It's step three, but no, good to see him back. Getting his second chance at Ashford. There's been a lot of step four movement this week, especially in the last couple of weeks. Sorry, especially in the Isthmian League, yeah. It seems to be something in the water, especially in Isthmian South Southeast. But yeah, Kevin Watson is certainly a name that struck. That struck me as soon as he got that job, because I think that's a good fit. Sometimes you see managers going in at clubs and you just think, oh yeah, that's a good fit, that could work. And that's certainly the case with this one. I think I'll be interested to see how Kevin gets on this year. And I wish him all the best.
It's interesting you make that comment about the Isthmian, because it does. It's a conversation I had earlier in the week with somebody else, with suggesting that clubs or northern based managers tend to be far more organised, they told me, than people in the south. So all the jobs have already been done. I mean, one movement that we did see in the north at the back end of last week with Neil Dans leaving Macclesfield, understandably, to join the coaching team in the Football League Tranmere. Coach Mark Duffy succeeding, so there is that continuity there. But I suppose Macclesfield breaking the mould, where it proving that you can have success even with a high turnover of managers.
That's right. I mean, Macclesfield. Well, I think is it three promotions on the trot now, and it's just go from strength to strength. And again, I think no matter who's going to be in charge. They're going to be one of the big favourites in the NPL Premier next season. Mark Duffy, obviously, having that continuity of working with the current squad and working with the former manager, he will know what's required, and he will know that the players that maybe Neil Dans had pinpointed before. And I think, it was quite a sensible decision, really, in the end, just to bring him in. And as I say, it's an excellent opportunity for him. Macclesfield, of course, huge club, huge fan base. Either way, they're going to be rattling up the leagues, and they'll be National League bound. I think in no time soon, I think they're going to be the South Shields kind of team to look out for in the NPL Premier this year. And as I say, good opportunity for Mark Duffy to really make a name for himself, and I'm sure he will, because they're going to be the ones to watch this year, I'm sure.
Yeah, and the managerial merry-go-round at this time of season sort of takes on I don't know if anybody's ever taken their kids to a fairground and the carousel, when you put your kid on the horse and then before the ride, or when the ride's just about to start, they want to go and sit in the police car instead and take the ride in that one. It's a bit like that at the moment. You get a manager hopping from one club to another. So we've seen Lee Burcham, one of those departing Leighton Town, going off and taking up the role at Bedford Town. And we also Gavin McPherson, who'd done so well at Met Police, and the others are around him. He's left Met Police and Invercourt and stepping in at Enfield Town.
Yeah, I saw that. I was quite surprised by that. That kind of went under our radar, I must admit. Gavin's been there for a long time. He's done a great job at Met Police. Obviously, Met Police are one of those teams who have switched really from the Isthmian League to the Southern League. So they've had a fair bit of a bit of chopping and changing going on there, and a fair bit of travelling as well in that division. But he's certainly done a very good job, and I'm sure Enfield Town, the club there with a very solid base, been doing extremely well in the Isthmian Premier up until this season. They haven't really had the best of seasons this year. This season has forced them into making a change. But I think that seems like a good fit to me. And Lee Burcham, I mean, what a season he had at Leighton Town. I think he led them to the treble, not only promotion, but there was a bit of cup success up there as well. It was a glorious first season, and ended up down at Bedford Town, who are going to be in their league next year, in the Southern League, which will be quite interesting. That'll be another occasion to look out for, I think. Two neighbours, all of a sudden becoming rivals. They probably haven't had much in the way of dealings. They've obviously been opposite ends of the spectrum over the years, but all of a sudden they end up in the same division, and Lee Burcham is right in the middle of a new super ring rivalry. So but good luck to him. He certainly deserves his opportunity. Bedford Town is a big club, and they will want to put right the wrongs of last year, and I'm sure we'd be the man to do it.
Yeah, and we mentioned the whole staff from Met Police moving off. One man that was alongside Gavin McPherson at Met Police, Scott Tarr, has changed from assistant manager at Met Police to become the assistant manager to the new manager at Chertsey Town. Mark Harper's gone in there at Chertsey Town. As you say, the Isthmian League seems to be the one with a full rodeo of managerial changes.
Yeah, two good players you mentioned there. Yeah. I remember in their playing days, Mark Harper, excellent centre-back, formerly of Aldershot and Farnborough, saw Harps play many times. Great move for him. I think he's been knocking him out in the combined counties league with Shearwater, but he's got his big move there. And Scott Tarr, who I remember, he's another great name, goalkeeper, if I remember rightly. Indeed. at Basingstoke. So I don't know too much about his coaching skills, but if you need someone with experience and big game know-how, then there's two guys there who have been there, done that. And Chertsey's an excellent club, and they're a bit devoid of much success this season. Mm. But I'm sure with the right people in charge, they'll be there or thereabouts. Two guys I wish very well.
Yeah, and talking of know-how, possibly non-league's most famous duo are back in a dugout too. Anthony Johnson and Bernard Morley taking on the role at Radcliffe. And I've seen so much social comment on this that everybody seems to think that they're the perfect fit for the club.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's great to see them back, isn't it? I mean, I think that was indicated a couple of times. Certainly Anthony's indicated that... You know, if the right move didn't come, then maybe they'll look to keep management up. Maybe, I don't know, but we haven't seen them for a while. All of a sudden, Radcliffe's come along, and why not? I mean, they've obviously they know that level. They
know the level higher. Again, these are two guys who know a good footballer. I know a good football system when they see one. And in Ratcliffe, they've got a club again with a very solid platform, a big club at that level, MPL Premier. And I think it is a good fit. I think it's as I say, two good managers who will be delighted to get back into it. And Ratcliffe, I think, will be very welcoming to them. So, I can see that working personally.
Yeah, and talking of a good fit and, sort of some managers coming back into the fold. Luke Tough's returning to Ashford Town, Middlesex, with Paul McCarthy stepping down. There's lots of change going on at Ashford Town with their 3G pitch coming in and everything like that. But again, another great fit. We know it works with Luke there. Hopefully, returning is not going to be an issue.
Yeah, good friend of mine, Luke Tufts, absolutely dieted for him. Didn't really put up the trees at Ashford the way he would have liked before. I don't quite know what the limitations were the first time he was there. But he's a top coach, so highly thought of by footballers and fellow coaches alike in that area. Obviously, he's done a fair bit at Hartley Whitney. Leatherhead, he did an excellent job at Leatherhead. Very, very unlucky not to keep them up at step three. And so it didn't quite work out for him at Ashford. But good to see him back. Because again, I think that is a good fit. Because this is a guy who's as I say, so highly thought of. And Ashford actually looking to get back to a bit of momentum, a bit of solidity, both on and off the field. And if you want that, then for me, Luke Tufts is an absolutely ideal guy. Yeah. Ideal guy for him, and really, really nice guy, Luke Tufts. And I think he's an excellent manager as well. And say, wish him all the very best.
And talking of people returning as well, Peter Adonai, leaving Merton, returning back to Carl Shorten Athletic.
Yeah, there's another one. I must admit, I did see that one coming. Peter Adonai and Carl Shorten basically go hand in hand, don't they? It was a bit of a shock when he. Bit of a shock when he left 2 years ago, I suppose now, yeah. And I'm not 100% sure what he's done since then. But as I say, that is the perfect fit. When you talk about fits, and great to see him back in the dugout. Obviously, at a place he knows and loves. And Carl Shorten haven't had a great season, albeit mid-table. That was down to their own ambitions. That the season wasn't really what they desired. And if it's one man to get back on the bike and get them motoring again, it's Peter Akinyoi. So good luck to him. As I say, real character in non-league football, and great to see him back.
Yeah, talking of characters in non-league football, Steve King departing at Gloucester City. Said about their need to cut the budget, and I just think it's a case of he'd done so well for them again this season. We won't mention the playoffs, but I'm sure it won't be a long time before he's back involved in football again.
Yeah, poor old King. He's just not going up. he's had so much success, hasn't he? Especially in the National League South. But, the fact he just keeps getting these teams up into those playoff positions, and we spoke many times, and even in this interview as well, about how much playoffs are lottery. He's had such bad luck, hasn't he, in playoff situations. And I must admit, I was quite surprised when he took the Gloucester City job. It was a new venture for him, very, very much, very, very much out of his comfort zone. But he did great. He took a team who... He took a team who were in the lower reaches of the division and not really looking to pull up many trees, and took them into those playoff places on the final day amidst several clubs who could have pitched him put to the post. He managed to keep his nerve, and again, it was more heartache for him, wasn't it? And I was just watching the scores come through from that game, and all I could think about was Steve King. Oh, no, not again, not again, not again. And unfortunately, it was. And he's a good friend of the non-league paper, Steve King. He's one of our columnists, and we were going to give him a call, Matt and I, just to see if he wanted to talk, but we decided against it this week due to lack of space, should we say? But unfortunately, it didn't quite work out for him across. So I think there are other issues behind the scenes that that may have contributed to that. But as you alluded to earlier on, Steve King will be back. Don't worry about that. And I think it'll probably be National League South. Maybe next time, or maybe in National League, who knows? But he's certainly someone who deserves to be seen in that that very highest bracket.
Yeah, and it's always great to see, you know, these old names, people that have really served their time in non-league, you know, getting back involved in football. It's also good to see some, you know, new young coaches get an opportunity. Down at Step 3, Gosport Borough have gone with some ex-players. I think over 300 club appearances between the two of them for Pat Zarachi and Joe Lee. They had success last year at Petersfield Town in the Wessex Division 1, got them promoted via the playoffs there. So at Step 6, they've been successful. Getting a chance at a club that they are pretty much legendary at Step 3 management.
Yes, that's right. And we did a piece with the two of them this week. This season, a couple of months ago, and they were guiding Petersfield Town sort of back up to the top of Step 6. And Petersfield have been sadly on a decline for a long time, but they steadied that ship, got them back up to Step 6, and won them promotion, albeit for a very nerve-jangling playoff. Playoff penalty shootout at New Milton, but I managed to get them up, and they got their big chance back at the club where they basically made their name. There's obviously a lot of affection either side for player and club, and the fans too. I think they'll be pleased in the knowledge that they can pass over to. Two guys who love the club, and I think at that level, if you've got that adoration for a club and that will to win for that club, then that makes such a difference. And these guys have passed their first test in management, and they've now moved on three levels. So it's a big test for them. But those guys will know the levels that that they will need for next season. And wish him all the very best of luck, as I said, because Gosport were an excellent club. Sad for Mark Molesley, didn't quite work out for him there. I thought that was I thought they did very well in getting Mark, who's obviously performed at a lot higher level at Weymouth and Aldershot. It didn't quite work for him there, but I'm sure he'll be back. But what a great opportunity for these two guys now to make their mark.
Yeah, it's a busier time in the old managerial stakes. It's also, for any administrator in football, it's a very busy time. We've got the allocations, obviously, still going on behind the scenes at the FA. We've had, another HMRC winding up petition issued against Southend. I think that's due for the middle of this month. But we also saw some good news as well, because we've got that big vote again on the Bury front, the two Bury sides. It looks like their approval of this amalgamation for the people that voted there, that they'll take Gig Lane as their home ground, and they'll also adopt the name of Bury FC. I think there's another final confirmation general meeting vote that needs to be held, which looks like that should be fairly straightforward. Then obviously needs approval from the FA and that sort of thing. But when we spoke to Bury earlier on in the season, the opportunities that were given to them in respect to funding and the ability to use Gig Lane as a ground, I think I did describe it as a no-brainer, but as always, as we know with non-league football or football at any level, there's always lots of politics involved, and it can be difficult to get everybody to see the final goal.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we've got a piece going in a non-league paper this week, and our reporter John Lyons has been digging in, getting hold of the people that were the big players in that situation. And to me, and I think to yourselves and to many other individuals, it did feel like the perfect fit. You had one team, one club with no team, and another club with a team but no stadium. And so it did feel like the right way to go. Football in Bury and Gig Lane go hand in hand. It did seem like the perfect fit. Obviously, it didn't quite work out for Bury AFC. They went for a promotion this year, so the momentum had stopped a little bit. And I think maybe that was in the mind of some of their supporters when they went with the vote back in. This week, because in October, obviously, it was they voted against it. This time, they've changed their mind, and all of a sudden, on paper, it looks like a really great proposal. And your minds just sort of switch back to Macclesfield, don't they? There's a lot of similarities, and it's certainly worked there. And that must have been in the back of their mind. But I mean, if you look at a club with that fan base, and as I say, with what Bury FC had and what Bury AFC have got now, put the two together, and all of a sudden you've got a strong unit. I just hope that they can keep acting on the same side, and if they can keep that unity together, then wow, that could be another big non-league entity in the making.
Talking about a non-league entity that would have been made many, many years ago, the non-league paper this weekend. You've mentioned a few of the stories that we're already be expecting to reading about on Sunday. Will also be, a last chance to vote in the National Game Awards?
Yes, very much so. National Game Awards on Tuesday, May the 21st. Still plenty of chances to vote for your top man, whether it be goal scorer or manager or player, young player. There's a full list of all the categories on our website or in the non-league paper on Sunday. Voting, I think, is going to be open for another week or so. So yeah, get those votes in. Obviously, we'll know after the weekend as to which way that the playoffs have gone, and that may have a bearing on your vote. Who knows? But make sure you get those votes in pretty quickly, because believe me, it does come up very quickly. The NGA Awards. One minute you're coasting, the next minute, and so much to organise. So, we're all done, I think. We're looking forward to it. There's a few winners already chosen. So now we're collaborate them all together. But as I say, there's a few categories already open, big categories already open. There's some categories that are very, very close between. There's a lot of top performers out there who will unfortunately go unrewarded, but because such was the competition this year. But we're really looking forward to the NGA Awards. Whatever happens, there's going to be 13 or 14 winners who are going to be thoroughly deserved of that accolade. But but we need your vote. So yeah, if you could vote for your top man, then it could well make all the difference. So good luck with that.
Good luck with that, and good luck with putting the paper together again this weekend. We look forward to reading all about it on Sunday, and thank you for joining us on the Non-League Football Show.
Thank you. Cheers, Tim.
That's it then for this week. Thank you to all of my guests as ever, and thank you to everybody for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us throughout the season, joining throughout the week on social media and the league show. Myself there at Tim Fuel, FUELL, and you can find us every week on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, also Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, iHeart, Geo7, Listen Notes, Overcast, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Radio Republic, via your smart speakers, and all good podcast aggregation sites. Good luck for all of those still in cup and playoff action this week ahead. Stay safe. Enjoy your football. Thank you. And goodbye.
A Jibber Jabber production. JIBBA. JABBA.